This is Amy Hatter doing Coming Listeners, and I don't have to talk too much about her, but she's my friend, and she's one of the smartest people I know, and she's probably the best at data tracking and keeping an eye on who the frick is listening to her service. Here's Amy. All right, so remember
Margie's talk yesterday, data is my level of excellence. Genius. Favorite. Okay, so counting listeners and listener surveys. For those of you who came to the virtual conference last year, this is pretty much the same, just updated. So first thing with counting listeners, why do you want it? Why do you want to count your listeners? For us, I do it for grants, for reports, for my annual report, for my board, they always want to know. And then just because I love data, just to soothe my own heart. Who do you consider a listener? For us, we only count people in Kentucky or in very southern Indiana, like across the river from Louisville. Do you only count people who have filled out an application? Do you count people who listen to your podcast even if they haven't filled out an application? Do you count people who listen on your phone or your TV? Or, you know, that's up to you to figure out how you want to count who you consider a listener. Like, we have listeners in Russia. I'm not counting them. I don't care. My funders don't care. They may think it's a little cool, but, you know, they're not giving me money to serve Russia. Do you need proof of eligibility? At the beginning of COVID, we stopped requiring like a doctor's signature or something on our device applications because I didn't want our listeners, most of whom were in their 70s, to have to make a special trip to their doctor during the plague. And we have just never like re-required it. Like, we do still require them to tell us what their disability is and then to like give us the name of their doctor. And I figure that is good enough. And again, in your open source ways, if you have an internet broadcast that's not password protected, if you have a telephone line that, again, is not, you know, something that you can protect, that's just like kind of out in the world, we put ours up on our website, and we have a sheet called Ways to Listen, and we just send that out to everyone. It's on the back of every newsletter. It's on my website. It's on everything because we want to be as open as possible and make it as easy as possible for someone to listen to us, even if we would not traditionally give them a radio, because, you know, there's so many different reasons people might need us, even if they don't need us all the time. And then, do you want the actual number of eligible people who listen? Do you want the people who have access to your program, which is a much easier thing to count? Just when you tell people how, you know, how many listeners you have, you need to tell them if it's, these are the number of people we have on the books who have given us an application, who can listen to us and are eligible, or this is the number of people who have access to us. So going back to like hospitals from yesterday, you know, 600 beds, 600 people in this hospital each day have access to us. We don't know how many tune in to listen unless somehow they give us stats. Or, you know, if you're on an open source TV channel, you can say, this is how many subscribers they have. This is the percentage of people in my state, my county, my city, who are blind or visually impaired. This is probably about how many people who listen, who are eligible. I break it down, my numbers, into several different ways. The easiest way is by broadcast type. We used to have an open source television channel. They took us off the air in April 2020 and did not tell us until I reached out to them to ask them how many subscribers they had so I could figure out how many potential listeners we had. So we lost about 500 listeners and did not hear about it until about a year after we went back in the office, when people in Frankfurt started calling us and saying, hey, you're not on the TV anymore. How can I listen to you? That made me a little angry. Okay, so when I say radio, I provide a device. We give out Amazon Echoes, we give out internet radios, we give out STA radios in the 2 miles In Kentucky, you can actually hear them. That is a little bit of a joke. It's probably as many as three.
I got it.
And then we also give out landline telephones for our listeners who still have a landline phone but want to listen to us without having to hold their phone up to their ear.
Wait,
for an hour.
Landline telephone?
Yeah, it's a big speaker telephone. It is for landline only. It's about as big as a bread box. A little bit bigger, maybe. Yeah, it goes into, it's a landline phone, so like it's not a cell phone. But you know, a lot of people, if they do have a landline phone still, the speaker on it's not very good. It's not comfortable to listen to it, you know, to be on that phone for, you know, half an hour at a time. So if we want someone to listen to a full program, we need to make it more accessible. We tested, I think, about four phones before landing on the one we got. It's about $130 a piece. Thankfully, we have a couple of grantors who only want to buy listening devices. So when I start to run out, I'm like, okay, good Sam, what can you give us? So those are the four devices we give out. And we have kind of renamed our listener application to like device application, since people can listen to us on their own devices in a lot of different ways. So currently, as of the beginning of this year, we had 326 devices out to individuals in their own homes. And we had 6,204 listeners who had access to us in hospitals and other organizations. So I think we have 4 to 5 hospitals who total have about 2,000 beds, something like that, 4,000 beds. And those are the ones we are on their television channel. So we know, we count by registered beds, because that's how the IWIS used to say to count it. In like senior centers, nursing homes, retirement facilities, things like that, we will give individual devices to individuals. Sharon does a lot of that in Eastern Kentucky. And then we will also give devices for common rooms. And we have a different application for both. So that's what makes up that 6,200. We also broadcast our Lexington stream. We have 5 streams, so we broadcast one of them on NFE Newsline. And this 2,222 number is how many people were subscribed to Newsline in Kentucky last year. They can't give me any more data than that. Like they can't tell me how many people actually listened to our stream. Yes, George.
How did you get on that? Is that
our NFB Lexington chapter is actually disbanded, but like 9 years ago it was not. So we just kind of made a friendship with them. They actually, like the president ran a disability organization called Independence Place, and we were all just kind of running in the same circles, and John just came to me one day and said, hey, would you like to do this? And at that point, we didn't have a telephone service, and SCA was still okay, but it was starting to go bad. You know, we were starting to have more and more people tell us they had, you know, quality issues, it wasn't working. We had started giving out like antennas, external antennas for people to set up, but we didn't really have any way to actually set those up and follow like our liability insurance. So I was like, this sounds like a great partnership. I think we only had the Lexington and Louisville stream at the time, and we do pay them to broadcast our stream, so I didn't want to pay them to do both, so we did the Lexington one. But yeah, they just reached out to me. We were in, I think at that point in Kentucky, we had the Blind Services Coalition of Kentucky, which was, you know, we were trying to get as many services who served Kentucky, who served people who were blind and visually impaired. And they were on that coalition, and I was on that coalition, and that's just how that kind of got together. Our podcast, These are actually hard numbers. So podcast, website, toll-free number, these are numbers of people who have actually pushed the button to listen, downloaded the podcast, called into the toll-free line. And I have some little notes on here. So the hospital and other organizations, NFB Newsline, podcast, website, and toll-free number. To get those, I do go through and then delete all of the numbers of people we have who actually have a device, so I'm not double counting people. So, you know, if we have 200 devices out and, you know, we had 486, the number here is 286, you know, I'd go and delete that number before getting the numbers here, so we're not double counting. For the podcast, it's 286 for last year. That was the average listeners per month in Kentucky. I'll show you in a minute, but last year, our podcast server actually gave us the ability to actually look not just in countries, but in states, and it would tell us the cities. So that was great because in 2020 and previously, I could only see U.S. numbers. So I was really trying to make sure, you know, we were only counting Kentucky, but I couldn't do that, so I had to do a lot of math to figure out how to count those so that I wasn't counting people in California. And that's most of our U.S. listeners right now. And then for the website, that is also the average number of listeners in Kentucky. And for the toll-free number, that's the average number of unique phone numbers calling in each month. And for the phone, I only count numbers who have called in for more than 10 minutes. So I figure anything below that is a spam call. I delete that out. So last year, 9,205 people estimated listened or had access to Radio I. And then I think I just went over how I did this, but you know, I got the numbers by for the provided device. It was, I just went to our database, counted up the number of people who were still active. For our hospitals and other organizations, number of registered group listeners with the eligible number they gave us. So like for our nursing homes, I'm like, how many people are print impaired? And I describe what print impaired is. And then they give us that number. And once a year, we go back to those facilities and say, hey, can you give us an updated number so that our state grants will give us our $12. For NFB, I just use the number that my contact gives me once a year. And now for my favorite part. I love this part. My favorite day of the month. Okay, so now I get to the spreadsheet. Thank you.
Yeah, spreadsheets.
Right, spreadsheets are the best. So, I just realized in April of this year, we surpassed 500,000 downloads on the podcast. And we currently have almost 3,000 followers. I don't use that number because I'll show you in a minute. Most of our podcast listeners are not in America. Okay, it's like 54% America. All right, let me move back here. Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay, so in the past 12 months, and I am currently on the Spreaker.com website, which is what we use for our podcast host. It costs $500 a year for like 1,500 hours. So I just, every couple of months, go through and delete stuff. And other than that, it's perfect because then we can use that to throw it to Spotify and Apple Podcasts and places that people actually go to. So currently, in the past 12 months, 55% of our downloads were in the U.S., and that was 61,000 and some change. Japan had about 10%, South Korea had about 4%, the U.K. about 3%, Canada 3%. So I'm going to click into United States here. And I'm using geolocation because you can go downloads, likes, geolocation, sources, device, and followers. I usually just use geolocation because I only care where they are. I don't really care you know, what source they're using, unless I want to see if, you know, if we're doing well on something. So in the U.S., 16% of our listeners are in California, 8% are in New York, and 7% are in Kentucky. So of that 500,000, we get to count 7% of that. And that's all time, so that's not the same amount. But then I click into Kentucky, and I get to see all the Kentucky cities, which are a lot. Can I pronounce them all? Yes.
Did I just see Pee-wee Valley?
Yeah, you did. You did. You did see Pee-wee Valley. So our top listener, Louisville, at 47%. Then Lexington, Owensboro, which is in western Kentucky, which we just expanded to last year, so I'm glad to see this. Bowling Green, also in western Kentucky. Carrollton, this holy word is Versailles. Yes, Siri will tell you it's Versailles. It is not. It is Versailles. And here's Pee-wee Valley. Louisville. This is London, not London, based on the local accent. And I know this because that's how my mom always said it. Sharon, is this Goshen?
What?
How do you pronounce Goshen?
Geishan.
Okay.
Yeah,
I lied. I can't pronounce them all, but that's why we have Sharon. I'm trying to find some of the others. And then it just goes to other. But anyway, back to my spreadsheets. So this is not my podcast spreadsheet. I need my podcast spreadsheet. Athens? I did not see any in Athens. All right, so I have this download spreadsheet, which whenever they give me a better way to count my listeners, I update the spreadsheet. So last year, I counted listeners by, where do I have it? Okay, so in 2021, I did not have access to the actual cities in Kentucky or like the Kentucky breakdown. So doing my best, I counted highest download number per show and then took the average of that. And on my second spreadsheet, it was average downloads per month by show. So example, our grocery show, we play that once a week. So for like May of 2020, I only counted the May 2020 episodes. Sometimes people would listen to the episodes that had been uploaded previously. They don't count for May, they only counted in April. And then I would take the average for that. This year, what I was able to do, since I was actually able to get the actual cities, is I counted the average per city. So I'm gonna show this to you, and please tell me if I'm not describing it well enough that you can actually understand it. So my first one, 2022, downloads per show. This one is actually counting the actual shows. So I'm gonna go down, and these are still only Kentucky, like I sorted by Kentucky. So you can see the Louisville Courier Journal. In January in Kentucky, we had 140 downloads for that, 82 in February, 95 in March. I am behind, so I don't have April and May. So this spreadsheet, in the columns, it is show, it says only use US numbers, which I need to change to only use Kentucky numbers. And then in that column, it's the shows listed alphabetically. The other columns are the months. Currently only January, February, and March have numbers in them. And after the months, it's total, monthly, and then monthly average. So for the Louisville Courier Journal, for the first 3 months of the year, we had 317 listeners for an average of 106 per month. And then I just do that, and that helps me at the end of the year figure out what our most popular shows are and if any aren't doing well enough to, you know, keep putting them up, you know, keep taking the staff time to put them up and make sure they're there. You can see Woman's World, the first 3 months of the year, had zero listeners. It does pretty well on our broadcast. So far, it's not doing well on our podcast, so next year we may take it off the podcast. And then the second spreadsheet for 2022 is by city and county. So on this spreadsheet, the first column is city, the second column is county, The next 12 are the days of, are the months, and then we have total and monthly average. So I'm going to find one that's hard to pronounce. We already know how this one's pronounced. Okay.
Jeremiah.
Okay, that's in Letcher County. And currently, this is sorted to be alphabetical by city. I can also sort it to be alphabetical by county, because in Kentucky, we usually go by counties and not cities, because we don't really have cities. We have two cities, and they're actually urban county governments. So, like, Jefferson County is Louisville. Louisville is Jefferson County for, like, all governmental purposes. But anyway, so I can see. Okay, so in Louisville, that is our biggest city, our biggest county. So obviously this one has a whole lot of listeners. In January, we had 231. In February, 131. In March, 153. For a total of 515, or an average of 172. And then I add that up and take the average for all of that to get my annual number of podcast listeners. And I do two spreadsheets so that I can get two different numbers, and I take the lower of the two. In all of my counting, if I have a range, I take the lower number because I would rather undercount a little bit than overinflate and have people push back and be like, you don't have that many listeners. So currently in the downloads per city, it's 415 per average listeners per month. In the downloads per show, it's 104. So I will be using that 104 average, not the 415. And that is how I count my podcast. And I can give these to anyone who wants to do that. And then next is the website and the telephone. And we use Zenomedia, which used to be, I think, Audio, what was it called, Lori?
Audio Now.
Yeah, and then Zenomedia bought them out, and they changed a bunch of things. We do pay for our phone numbers for them, and we have five of them. And then we connect a toll-free line that we get from, I don't think he's here, but from Andrew's husband, Tom, which cut our toll-free invoice in half, and our actual calls to an increase, because it was a lot more reliable. Okay, also you can see here, I have a spreadsheet for that too, because what do I love? Spreadsheets. Thank you. Woo! Okay, so for our website listeners, I count the unique IP addresses in Kentucky and the total number of hours listened to. For our phone, I count the unique phone numbers from the toll-free line, because I can actually get that. Zenomedia doesn't tell you how many people called. It just tells you, I think, what the average call was and how many total hours were listened to. And I also count the total number of hours. So going over to that spreadsheet, I have four sheets per year. So let me go to the first one. And this one is, it has, the columns are area, the 12 months of the year, total and average. I really like my averages. I feel like that gives a more accurate number. So I have our five areas listed in area, which is Lexington, Louisville, Eastern Kentucky, which is really like Hazard, Moorhead, and Western Kentucky, which naming it that will come to bite me in the ass later when we decide to split them into separate streams as well. And then I have for the totals in Kentucky only, USA and worldwide. And the USA and worldwide are really just for me because I like to know all the numbers. So our total number in Kentucky of IPs who that listened in the first quarter of the year were 455 for an average of 152. So that's the number I'll be using for our internet listeners. And that counts all of our people who are listening on our Alexa skill for the live broadcast. That counts people who are listening on our website. That counts, you know, everyone. Worldwide, for the first quarter, we had 2017. Most of those are in Canada. Why did Canada decide to stop radio reading?
That's right.
It's not needed.
Explain that one.
Why are most of my listeners in Canada? Because they need services like ours. Okay. And then the next spreadsheet is counting hours, not IP addresses. So columns are the same. First one is area, the 12 months, the total, and the average. So we are averaging about 560 hours a month being listened to on the internet. And so far for the first quarter, it was almost 1,700 hours for our five streams. Lexington is our biggest one. It's just our default one we had the first. So I think that's how why that's so much higher.
Amy,
yes.
Super quick, just for myself and maybe someone else who's wondering now. When you say your internet need listeners,
yes,
that's coming from your website and not your stream?
So what I do is I go to Zeno Media, and I have now brought that website up. I click analytics. Sometimes it may take a while. I'm just going to set it on all stations, get analytics. And it is churning now. Try to do that for me. Okay, and now it's come up. And it has five different stats. One is total sessions completed. I don't care. The next one is total unique IPs, 1,950,000. Average listening minutes is 13 and a half. Total listening hours for May was 596. And total ad impressions is 39. We can't take that off. So I get the total unique IPs. That's our worldwide. I don't care. I kind of care. No one else cares. So I scroll on down to the regional statistics, and you can see Canada is our number one country with 1,585 unique IPs. Again, I only care for my own knowledge. Our funders do not. You can see in the United States, that it's 349 unique IPs. Again, I only care a little bit. I don't know how to pronounce this first city, but it is in Virginia. I don't care about Virginia because we don't get funding for Virginia. I do like knowing it though. And then what I do is I go down and it lists the cities that listens to most. So those are Lexington, well, it's the Axo Creek. I don't know how to pronounce that. Abiquiu. Thank you, Sharon. Lexington, Louisville, Bardstown, Annapolis, which, that's Maryland, right?
Yeah.
Maryland, I don't care. Washington, don't care. New York, don't care. Shelbyville, care. Other cities, I don't know if they're in Kentucky or not, so I can't count them. So then I just add up the number of Lexington unique IPs, and that's what I put in my spreadsheet. So for, not Lexington, Kentucky unique IPs. So Lexington had 118, Louisville had 55, Bardstown had 22, Shelbyville had 4. I'm not doing that math in my head, but that's what I would do. And then I would put that in my unique internet listeners sheet on my listener and call total spreadsheet.
I apologize, I should have been more clear.
Oh, sorry.
This then would include any internet device you need about.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so
it is.
That's double.
And then I go and subtract them out before I actually put them in things.
Oh, just the number.
Yeah, so that I'm not...
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that...
Yeah, so it's not on the spreadsheet, but before I actually put them, like, in the things...
The number of devices out.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so here's this, here's the number of devices who can listen to us in this way, take them out.
Awesome, thank you.
And for the phone, it's the same way. Like, if we've given someone a phone for this... Pretend you can't... Okay, I'm gonna... No, I need to unfreeze this so you can't see what that is. Unfreeze. Move. Okay, now you can't see the phone number. Pretend you couldn't do that. So for the phone number, in order to get actual number of listeners, I go to, I'm going over to the internet again. I go to PBX Administration, which is Go To Contact Center, which is who they're the company that does our toll-free number. And then I click over into reports, and I get my call reports up. So I get on here, it's summary, user activity, phone number activity, and caller activity. I want caller activity, so I just I export that, and then I count, see who. How many people listened over 10 minutes? How many listened under 10 minutes? Anyone listening under 10 minutes, cutting them out immediately. They don't count. And then I take those phone numbers and I put them in this column y'all can't see. which is just phone numbers, and that way I get the number of phone numbers who call. I can't rely on, you know, just looking at the Kentucky area codes, because people move and they keep their cell phone numbers now. So, you know, someone may have a New York phone number, but they're actually living in Kentucky, or they may have an 859, which is like a Lexington Bluegrass area number, and they may not be living in Kentucky anymore. So again, this one, just like the others, after the name for like who are the unique people, it has the 12 months of the year, and then it has months listened. So what this is that I count up how many months this individual number listened, that totals at the end, and then it averages. So on average, we had 24 listeners a month this year. And no, we can't see that. Mm-hmm. Go away. Okay. So that's how we count the number of phone listeners. And then for the phone area details, I get that from Zeno Media again. This spreadsheet that I'm showing is just like all the others. It has area, the 12 months, total and average. In area, it has our five areas. It has the total hours calculated, the total call sessions, the average calls per day, and the average calling minutes. So far, we've had an average of about 78 hours per month listened to, about 401 call sessions per month. The average calls per day are 13, and the average listening minutes are 12. So people, the average listener is not listening to a whole episode, or something's cutting them off and they're calling back in. And then I get that on Zeno Media too. Let me go back here. So I did the stats on streaming. I just click on call in and I do the same thing, get the analytics and put it in like that. So that is for counting just straight broadcast. I have also kind of listed how we used to do the TV broadcast. So what I would do is, if I could get the number of subscribers they currently had, I would take the number of people who either the census or the American Community Survey said had a visual impairment in Kentucky, and I would take that number, and that would be the number of people who were eligible to listen to us. If I could not get the new subscriber data, I would subtract 3%. Because last time I checked, that was about the average loss cable TV was taking in subscribers each year. That may be higher now, but that's what it was last time I looked.
So that was subscribers to?
To the actual TV, like cable system, cable company. So they tell me that, and then I would, in Kentucky, as of 2018, which disability statistics.org is the website I use for my data for that. It was 3.4% of Kentucky's population was blind or visually impaired or had a severe visual impairment, as told to the American Community Survey, and then estimated out. The American Community Survey does not survey everyone like the census does, so their data is estimated. But so I would get that subscriber number, I would take 3.4% of that, and then that would be the number of eligible people who could listen. And I don't take the number of people who are physically disabled or have mobility issues or anything like that, which disabilitystatistics.org will tell you, because not everyone in those categories are print impaired. So again, when in doubt, I take the lower number. And I also do listener demographics and listeners by county. Mary, tell me when I need to shut up.
2-minute warning.
2-minute warning. Okay. We're going to skip demographics and by county. It's pretty much the same for demographics. I just ask people on our applications and on our surveys to tell me, their age, their gender, their income, veteran status, race, ethnicity, things like that.
All of this we will make available to everybody.
Yes.
So after we'll send you this or a link to this or something. So copy that if you want, but you don't have to because we will get it mailed.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you.
All the stuff.
And let's see, for our listener survey, we do one every year. I can send y'all what we have. I don't know why this is. Okay, it's not doing it then. I should do it online. Okay, so basic survey info, you know, who are they if they want to answer that? How do they want our stuff? What kind of programs do they like? And then I get all my grant information. I will send you this, but I'm about to bring it up.
On the website, Becca, can we do a hidden page that we could put all these resources or services? Or can we put a no?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would this be helpful to you guys?
Yeah.
If we had a page on our website that had all this kind of stuff on it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so for this year, I made like a listener survey results just for sending to grants because I think it looks very nice. So with a lot of work, we had 65 listeners complete our survey last year. And then the results I've broken down into three categories: isolation and community connection, helpful with hospitals, how many people felt informed on local, state, and national events, and then health issues. And a selection of listener comments. These were my favorites. So this will be available, and it will be available in an accessible format. But, you know, it's listed how many people said their disability made them isolated, of that, who said Radio I helped, who talked with family or friends, who attended an event, and who felt happier. On information, it was, do you feel informed about local services, local news and issues, and about politicians and political candidates? We read a lot about that, especially during like the primaries and everything, and especially how to vote, how to do mail-in voting, absentee voting, how to vote early, how to get all of that. And we do try to make sure, and I'm sure a lot of y'all do too, if there is a phone number available, that's the one we push versus the website. And then health issues. So who talked to their healthcare provider this year in our survey? I think it jumped from 5% to 14%. And I think a big part of that, one, it was a year into COVID, people had to start going back to their doctor, whereas in 2020, a lot of people were putting it off thinking, you know, they just go when it was gone. Two, we changed the wording from, do you talk to your doctor, to do you talk to your healthcare provider? And I would think Sharon, for that suggestion, because a lot of people don't see a doctor, they're seeing nurse practitioners or someone else, or they may not have a regular doctor, so they may not think about that. And then, you know, do you know about health issues affecting your community, which about 3/4 of our listeners do now. I'm gonna open it up to no questions, but yes questions.
No,
no questions.
Sure, sure.
Yes, questions. Yvonne.
We
give it to Yvonne.
Yeah, it should be good.
Who?
I was just wondering from your perspective why you collect information on the cultural or ethnic or race demo. I want to include that in our survey. I'm having a hard time convincing our staff that that is not some form of discrimination or, you know, weighing in too heavily on personal information. I was just wondering from your perspective why you think that's important.
Well, we've always asked that. One, we want to know who we're serving and who we're not, so we know, you know, what we need to work on. Two, if you want any kind of government money, you have to give them demographics. So we put the demographics actually at the bottom, and we put a note that says this is optional, but it does help us with funding. So like some people will answer some of the demographic questions and not all of them. And at least for our community development block grant, you have to separate ethnicity from race. We used to, I don't know why we used to mesh them together, but they only want to know Hispanic or Latina or not Hispanic or Latina. They don't ask for any other ethnicity. So what I did is when we got our first kind of audit on our CDBG grant, they told me exactly how they wanted us to list the races, and the ethnicities and everything like that. So I just copy and pasted it into our device application and our listener survey.
So it is on your application?
It's on our application, yeah. Like, most of the stuff is optional, so like if someone chooses not to put that in, we don't, like, we're still going to give them radio or whatever they want. It's just we can't count them in our state-funded listeners.
I want to work in on that. I always just tell them that it's not necessary that they respond to that, but it helps us get our, and they do understand about grants and funding, especially like, for instance, the VA hospital. We put, what, 30-some Alexas in there.
It was at least 24.
And we got two internet radios, and we, the lady that is their activities coordinator, actually wrote to the Veterans Council about us and how happy they were with it. And I'd say that would look real good on a funding application. And, you know, if you give them the option, most people don't mind doing it.
We do that for the same reason and do the same thing. We say it's optional, but we get Area Agency on Aging grants. We have a couple of those too, and we have to report all that information, and we have, they, it only covers people 60 and over, so we have to ask for a date to know that. My question is, when Alex was looking at data in our podcast data, she noticed that there was a big grouping in Virginia of listeners, and we couldn't figure out why. And then she discovered that Spotify has a hub there, and anything that was going, or not anything, but a lot of things that were going through Spotify, the IP addresses all showed up as Virginia. Have you run into that?
Yeah. It's on.
It's on the bottom.
It's low battery.
Low battery.
I don't have any battery right now.
I do. Just holler. Here, yeah, you do that, I'll do this.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that actual, on the internet stream, that first city, that's a Virginia city. So yeah, we do run into that. And right now on the screen, I have my listener demographics up. First thing is economics. So what we do whenever we update our listener application is I go and look what the poverty rate is in Kentucky, and then we ask, we set our levels based on that. So some of these are old, but if someone gave me their info like 2 years ago, but they don't give it to me this year, I'm keeping that old info in there. You know, if they said they made $0 to $32,000 5 years ago, but they're not telling me what they're making now until they tell me, they're in that listing. And then we have sex and gender. I break that down into individual and facility. And the reason I do that is because we have a lot of veteran centers that we serve that skews the gender ratio of our listeners by a lot. You can basically, individual versus facility, the gender ratios are flipped about 55 to 45. Female and individuals, and 45 to 55 female and male in facilities. And then we do race. One thing I really like about looking at that is then I can look at the makeup of Kentucky and see if we're similar, which last time I checked, we are.
Angela.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Also, collecting demographic information to address your question on that. I mean, yeah, I'm a peace funders, but I'm so over appeasing funders and what they want. It's a really good indicator of who's listening and what kind of content you're putting out. Because if you have a high percentage of African American listeners, Asian listeners, Hispanic listeners, and you provide zero Spanish language content or zero content for those communities, why would they want to listen? So I think that's really important, knowing the ages of your listeners and see, and then also if you track trends. So, you know, with being on streaming platforms, going from, you know, SCA radio to streaming, you might see a shift in the age demographics. And that helps, again, tailor your content to really reflect what your community is, you know, what the makeup of your community and in your broadcast reflecting that as well. So.
The chicken and the egg, you know, doing some of the ethnic mm-hmm. programming. Mm-hmm. Kansas has a small demographic of Spanish language.
Very few Hispanics in Kansas, except for one little tiny pocket by the meat packing. So we're always the chicken and the egg. Like, if we produce a Spanish language programming, do people listen? We have three listeners. Do we continue doing it? So it's, I mean, that there, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm saying that a lot of times we have the programming skews towards the largest percent of our audience. But I do your point that we need to provide a variety of things in order to appeal to a larger demographic.
I mean, for this, especially for my client, the St. Louis community, we have a large community, a large Bosnian community. We have zero Bosnian content. But, you know, it's again, you know, if you provide those, some, even if it's just one program, that might be the thing that brings those individuals who might need your services in those communities to you again and building that up. And also, funders are, United, they want to make sure that you are reflective, you know, we're always reminding them of that, accessibility part, but making sure that not just your organization reflects, human board reflects the community makeup, but that your services actually do too.
I think this is my second rookie move, so somebody keep track. Everybody's talking about Spotify. What is the application of Spotify on our type of service?
This will be our last answer because we're 15 minutes behind. That's my job. You're okay.
Who can speak
you mean,
to
you
that?
Mean what is Spotify?
No.
Like why
are
we
going
to be on Spotify?
No, I mean, like, how is it used for our service?
So
we put our podcast out there and partly because we've had difficulty with our skills and people using this and we've just had folks ask us, it's like, well, but I already use Spotify or I already use Apple, can't I just access it where I already access other podcasts? And so, and it's really increased our listenership, or at least the hits, you know, to have it out there. Not necessarily registered listeners with all this lovely information, but at least knowing people are listening to programs.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, just like Kim, it makes it more accessible, you know, if you're already where people are.
Time to eat.